My next guest is Stephen Whelan, the owner and founder of Deeper Blue. If you've ever Googled anything on the internet in scuba diving, you've probably read about it through a Deeper Blue article. We sit down, get the whole story with him at DEMA, and like always, if you wait till the end, you'll hear my personal opinion on something we discussed that many people find controversial. This is a new thing and I'm running with it. And this may not seem like much, but make sure to rate this show or subscribe wherever you're watching or listening to this. It means the world to me, so thank you, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Thanks for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. It's good to meet you finally in person.
Finally in person, yeah. Our emails with the time difference, man. It's such a lag. We're here at your booth, although you can't see it. So you're the owner of Deeper Blue.
I am.
All right. How does that feel?
I mean, look, you know, I feel very privileged to be in a position where I can help educate, inspire, inform people about the diving world. 27 years old now, Deeper Blue. It was before the internet was cool. Certified at 13, instructor at 16, scuba.
So you could be a scuba instructor at 16 at the time.
Yeah.
It's 18 now, pretty much,
right? Yeah.
Most agencies. Not to get off topic, but why do you suppose that changed?
Liability, probably. Some lawyer probably got involved. That's probably what happened, right?
When did you say Deeper Blue is a real thing?
A real thing? I mean, it was always, always just a passion project. That was how it all started, right? When did it become a real thing? Probably coming to DEMA at some point in the last sort of 15 years or so, and someone going, Deeper Blue. I know Deeper Blue. And it's like people coming up and going, thank you for what you do. Honestly, what you guys do is great and so on. That's probably when I felt, actually, it's quite a thing now.
It's quite a thing now. In fact, you have what is now considered the most sought after after party. When did that start?
So people at DEMA don't always like me saying this, but most parties at DEMA, very boring. You get your three drink tickets and then they don't allow you to go to the bar whilst any speeches are on.
Speeches,
and
right.
Stuff. So and I was like, listen, what the industry needs is a networking party. And it needs to be in a cool venue somewhere. It needs to be, so it's always like a brewery or you know, a nice restaurant or some of that. I'm like, listen, there's no speeches, there's no drinks tokens, and it's become really quite a thing. So tickets this year went in 9 minutes.
We know. Us,
the most sought after tickets for...
You are the T-Swift concert of DEMA.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. You sell out in 9 minutes. It's the one everybody wants to be at. No speeches, no pausing the bar. God bless you, by the way. Yeah. Everybody's, hey, did you get in? I mean, that's...
It's pretty cool. Yeah. And I don't know how it happened. Honestly, it wasn't like...
This wasn't a planned marketing strategy.
No, it wasn't. People want to go and have some fun, talk to each other, networked and stuff. You know, you spend all day, as you will have done today, walked around, sore feet. What better way of having a salve for that by giving you free alcohol?
Sold.
So there is an after party as well. So
after that party?
Yep, 10 till 6 a.m.
Oh, man, it's New Orleans.
It's fun, but it's all about getting people to connect.
So, and you feel like this is a winning formula for you, having a party like this without the speech in the middle?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, I think it's the opportunity to then network in the industry and be able to hold a party. We're official media partners for the show, so we're here, a whole team of people that you can't see. So having a networking party, it's always good.
You have my vote, and I have the ticket.
And you have the ticket.
But as it stands right now, I mean, your party is the T-Swift party of DEMA. So I think as long as T-Swift is T-Swift, you're doing good. How do you explain Deeper Blue to somebody at a bar? Oh, they have no idea. What do you do? How do you pitch somebody who doesn't have a clue?
It's really quite simple. We are one of the largest and oldest online communities for the diving world. So people are interested in diving, interested in ocean advocacy, travel, those sorts of things. We're an online magazine, essentially.
That's your base.
For the diving, that's the base. 20 years ago, when forums were a thing, we were a big forum. You know, social media now, we always adapt all the way through. So now we've got over 1 million people following us on social media.
So you're loving it?
I am loving it, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
What's your favorite part about running Deeper Blue?
As divers, we are the ambassadors of the underwater world. No one else has the luxury of being able to look after the underwater environment like we do. And it's honestly amazing. And I remember, so when I was very lucky, when I was 7 years old, I had my first diving experience. I was on holiday with my parents, tried scuba. I was like, yeah, sure. It blew my mind. It was only in the pool. I remember sitting on the bottom of the pool going, this is amazing. Mind blown. Hooked from the moment I took my first breath underwater, I was hooked. And to be able to help people do that now and educate people and inspire and inform is why I still am so passionate and involved.
What is the big goal that you haven't felt like you've reached yet?
We can always do bigger and better things, trying to get more people to engage on the forums, get engaged on the social media and this stuff. Every single new person that we engage in understanding about the underwater world, my mission is never finished. Always constantly trying to grow the audience, educate people. It's never finished.
But that might be the secret, though, to any entrepreneur. Having your mission never finished, that's a good thing. Because when you're finished, you beat the game. It's not fun to play again.
Yeah, great.
Would it be too much to suggest that it's a good thing to not be finished because you always have something to look forward to?
Yeah, and look, so we've adapted over the years. So, yeah, we started in 1996. Over the years, we've adapted. So when forums were a big thing, did that. When it was email, did that. When it was social media, very much involved in social media. You have to adapt constantly. Adapt all the time, and whatever is going to be the next big thing, we'll probably have to get involved with that as well.
Well, I know you guys are huge on Instagram now. You guys crush it, man. What did you try in the beginning that you didn't actually expect to work that turned out to be like, oh my gosh, that was a huge success, a surprise success?
Oh, wow.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm going to be real quick. If you want to support this channel, go to sweetwaterscuba.com. Info's in the description. You can get the blue shirts, the red hat, the vinyl holographic tank stickers that everybody seems to love, and, of course, the autographed children's books that come directly from me. And back to the show.
He said he wasn't going to grill me, and this is like a proper grilling. I mean, the party is probably one of the things. I didn't set out to host a big networking party and so on, right? And we didn't start out doing it like that. But, hey, listen, it's turned out great, and everyone knows who we are. Based on that party.
What opinion did you have in the beginning that has done a 180 to now?
So we started out as a scuba news media organization, right? And we also got involved with freediving very early on. So when the freediving movement started, the modern one started, we were like right there at the forefront. So when I first started, the whole reason we ended up doing some freediving stuff was I was looking for a way of getting young people into the scuba diving industry, because scuba diving is quite expensive, right? It's a high barrier to entry. You've got to learn a load of stuff. You've got to go through all your training and so on. And because that bar was quite high, I was like, well, maybe snorkeling might be a good way of getting people into diving. And that's where it led me into the freediving world, and it just kind of blew my mind. All these people who can hold their breath for 4, 5, 6
it's
minutes
nuts.
And stuff. It's crazy, right?
Have you done it?
Yep.
What's your best breath hold?
4 minutes.
Four?
Yep. Four.
Honest. That's good, man. That's really good.
I mean, I haven't done it in a while, but yes, 4 minutes. I've done 30 meters, 4 minutes. So maybe, Kenny, that's what I need to do, is teach you how to hold your breath for 3, 4 minutes.
So I did 220 on day one. Somebody got me to. I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah,
I was happy. That was out of the, like, hey, just trying it, on the floor.
Yeah. That's
pretty good. That was it. That was my big, and I was like, hey, I'm out. What gets you most excited to keep going? Is it socializing? Is it the party? Is there an accomplishment? What fills your cup?
Still blows my mind how popular Deep Blue has become. There was one time where I felt I could quit right now. I feel like I've made it. It was the 21st anniversary for Deep Blue, and Scuba Diver magazine had published this article about the history of Deep Blue and so on. And I went into one of my local towns, and I was just walking around, and I went to go and get the magazine framed, picture framing shop. And the lady was like, behind the counter, was like, oh, Deep Blue, I was literally just on your Instagram. Like 2 minutes, I was like, oh, that's amazing. And then I went for lunch in some Japanese restaurant, and the guy at the server was like, I had my Deep Blue jacket on. He goes, Deep Blue, the diving website. Oh my God, I can quit right now. That's it, I'm done.
That's it.
I can quit,
yeah.
I've made
Good night,
it,
everyone.
I am famous.
It's one thing for people to recognize you here. It's another when you're at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Frame store.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's next level, because diving is small anyway.
It is. It's a niche of a niche, right?
Is there something going on in the industry right now that you just passionately disagree with?
Wow, you really are grilling me. He said he wasn't going to grill me. So the big thing for me, actually, I think we have dumbed down diving. Sounds weird, but it's too easy to learn how to dive now. Yeah, when I started, like it was a 12-week.
It's
12 weeks, load of learning and lessons and all this stuff. Now you go and do it in the weekends, right? It's done and dusted. And I mean, my kids are just starting. So my oldest is just starting to go through her open water, and I'm listening again to all the things that they have to learn and so on. And I'm like, just make it. We made it too easy.
Like, is it more time in the water, more days, the curriculum? Like, where do you think is the weak spot? Me personally, I think it's just bottom time. It's just not enough water time.
Agreed. Yeah.
Like, if you can get somebody for a couple of weeks in the water, a few days a week, I mean, that person, they're at least going to be able to function.
When you learn to drive, you spend a long time learning to drive.
Right.
You know, it's a machine, and why do we not spend more time underwater just perfecting our art, a craft of diving?
How do we reverse this?
We need to develop a career path for people in the diving industry. Professionals, there is no career path. It's basically frontline dive instructor, course director. That's basically your career path.
You're right. It's this big jump.
So in any other industry, there's always a career path that you can follow. So you know that you're going to do, you start here, then you do this, then you do that. The dive industry doesn't really have a career path. And that's one of the things I think. There is frontline instructors, no shortage of frontline, young, passionate frontline instructors. And then there's basically no one. And then you have the dinosaurs of the diving industry.
Yeah.
Which I'm one, by the way. I'm a dinosaur of the diving industry. But it's...
You're also hosting the T-Swift concert tonight.
Yeah, the T-Swift concert of the diving world.
I don't know. You might get a pass on that one. I haven't heard it put that way. You got me on that one. There's not a career path.
There is no career path at all.
How do we make one in 30 seconds?
In 30 seconds. Well, how do we... Well, so the thing is, we need to completely restructure the way professional going pro in the diving industry. We need to completely restructure so you do actually have the steps to go through to be able to have that career path. The agencies are going to have to try and tackle that problem. There's no simple answer to it.
Do you think it's doable? Like, is this a thing that can be fixed?
Everything can always be fixed, right? I think the challenge you have is, we talked about the dumbing down of the diving industry, right? When we look at also how cheap we've been trying to make, everything's the race to the bottom in the diving world.
Yeah.
That's
a common theme.
And it's really sad, really sad. We should not have this kind of, I need to do it cheaper than Joe Bloggs down
Everybody
the road from
loses.
Me. Stuff. Yeah,
Everybody
it's a race to the bottom, yeah. Everyone loses, absolutely.
It is. Okay, so what one thing do you wish everybody knew about that Deeper Blue offers? You feel like the one thing a lot of people think, oh, I didn't know that.
So we have a very popular mobile app that most people don't realize that we have.
I did not.
So there you go. You see, mobile app. So which you're going to go and download as soon as you finish this. Tickets for you, Kenny, unless you download the app.
Hey, maybe that would have been the thing next time. It'll give you a QR code in the...
There you go.
Strongest thing that Deeper Blue does, its greatest quality.
Scuba news and articles are kind of table stakes. Lots of sites do that. Free diving for us is one of our real core USPs.
Cool. Last question.
Okay.
Steven,
I'm scared.
This one's for you.
Okay.
When you're not diving, when you're not doing Deeper Blue stuff, and when you're not hosting the T-Swift concert, what do you do for fun?
Oh, goodness me. What do I do for fun? I mean, diving has always been the thing I do for fun. Okay, the rules. What do I do? I like going out, having a few drinks, seeing my friends, being sociable, that sort of thing. Eating and drinking, there we go. That's what I do.
Yeah, a good bar. We actually like kind of the shitty pubs and bars.
Good dive bar, right?
Yeah. No pun intended. Well, Steven, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. And we're on a panel together tomorrow as well.
And we're on the panel tomorrow. So hopefully we'll have some of that to throw in right here.
Let's hear it for Steven.
Thanks again, man. All right, appreciate it.
All right, so the most controversial thing I said I'd give you my opinion on is making scuba diving harder, like Steven said. I agree with the premise. We want to welcome more people into it, but I believe he's right on track with not churning and burning people. Yes, some people can learn quickly, but most people, they just sort of get the card and they don't dive anymore. The one thing you can always do to make divers better is spend more time with them in the water. It's my personal opinion the academics don't really help people become good divers in the beginning. Down the road, it is important. More water time, I think, should be mandated across the board so that everyone has to do it, so you don't have a competition problem. That would have to happen at WRSTC. But that's just my personal opinion. Like I promised you at the beginning, I would give you, so there it is. And of course, make sure you are subscribed. Let me know what you think about that or anything about the whole episode. I love reading the comments and responding to as many as I can. See you in the next show.